Welcome to an extended podcast. This podcast is going to go for 4.5 hours. Buckle up. I guess it's not going to go to it, but this is the podcast for the new DC film, new, in quotes, the Zack Snyder cut, or Zack Snyder's Justice League, as it's called.
Color Justice League cut.
I don't think you can use that word.
I believe there's a black and white version. There is a black and white version. It's a different cut.
But this is for the Justice League 4-hour edition. And for Bennett Brothers Podcast, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Joel. Thank you for joining us. Wow, here we are, Jerry. We did it. We sat through this movie. Jerry sat through it in 12 sittings. I sat through it in 13. So there you go. No, we sat through this movie. We're going to talk about it. We would love to also hear your opinions on this. So if you've never listened to our podcast before, go to facebook.com/Bennett Brothers Podcast to see everything we talk about on our podcast, which we mostly talk about the MCU, but we do talk about all the DC movies that come out or that have come out, the DCEU, or as Jerry loves to call it, the DCFU.
Mm-hmm.
He loves to call it that.
What is it extended from?
It's true.
It doesn't make any sense. The DC Extended Universe. They want to call it the MCU, but they can't because it'd be the DC... CU, and they don't want to do that. So
the DCU.
So let's call it the DCEU, because it's extended. Extended from what? Don't ask. Mm-hmm. That's why it's the DCFU.
Film universe. So we've been talking about, I think we talked about all of them. We've reviewed all these movies, right, on our podcast? Man of Steel?
No, not Man of Steel.
We didn't do Man of Steel?
No.
Well, that's a shame. We should have done that.
No, we did Batman v Superman.
Batman v Superman extended cut.
Yes.
So we talked about a lot of these.
Spoilers.
We generally enjoy the DC movies.
In general, yes.
I thought there's been some stinkers.
I've had more time to think about it. Wonder Woman 84 was a terrible film.
It's a terrible film. That's a bad movie that tried to be something it should not have been. And watching this movie only reminded me. It really did.
When you see Wonder Woman done right in this film.
I want to go back and watch Man of Steel again. I want to go back and watch Batman v Superman again. I want to be honest. I don't know. Still don't care for Lex Luthor. I still think Lex Luthor is a bad creation in the Batman v Superman, but I still want to go back. Yeah, I still want to go back and watch those movies because I really enjoy those movies. We really enjoy the early DC stuff. Wonder Woman, the first Wonder Woman, awesome. Jerry likes Suicide Squad way more than I do, but
it's flawed. But I get it.
Yeah,
I thought the Harley Quinn film was okay once.
And Shazam was good. I love Shazam.
He likes Aquaman more than I do.
And I like Aquaman a lot. So we're DC fanboys. We want the best for this universe. So we're going to critique it. So knowing our point of views on everything else, we're going to critique it based on that. You can obviously go online and take a look at the differences between the Snyder cut and the Whedon cut. Jerry's going to mention probably a couple things that he wished they would have kept from the Whedon cut. Maybe
stop telling Aquaman, me what I'm going to do.
Maybe Aquaman sitting on the lasso of truth.
That's a funny scene.
So there's some things, Jerry. I know Jerry because he was mentioning it to me. So maybe you don't want to talk about that, but I know Jerry has some points like that. We're not going to go through the whole movie bit by bit because that's just
4 hours long.
But we're going to talk about things we like, things we didn't like, if what we want to do. This is an interesting conversation because we've already reviewed this movie. We've already reviewed a cut of this movie 2.5 hours. So
2.5 years ago.
Yeah.
Go back and try and find that. It's out there.
It's out there.
Where's it at?
It's on the dark web somewhere.
It's on our WordPress page.
Bennett Brothers Podcast at WordPress.com. You could probably find it on other podcast sites
Absolutely.
As well. So, Jerry, we have not actually... You haven't talked to me since I finished it.
I try not to talk to you.
I did it in two sittings. You did it in two sittings as
Correct.
Well. I could have done it in one, but it's
I had other people watching it, yeah, so...
What'd you think?
This was incredible. This was it's not perfect, but this is an incredible film. It's even more incredible having watched the other version of it as an experience. As I told Joel, as a film making and watching experience, to be able to see a film like this a different way. The only other time this has really ever really really happened was ironically another Superman movie. Superman 2 was a film that I had seen, you know, for decades, dozens and dozens and dozens of times. And then when they came out with the Richard Donner cut, when the original director's version came out, and to be able to watch that movie and see it differently, different shots, different all sorts of stuff, it was just trippy. And that's very similar to the experience this was, to be able to see what worked, what doesn't, how expanded certain things are, scenes that were clearly reshot, scenes that didn't have a mustache being taken out of it. This was fascinating. And the only other time, you know, yeah, I guess Joel keeps telling me I have to watch the Kingdom of Heaven director's cut because it's so much different. So
yeah,
now
there's Blade
I have
Runner
to.
Director's cut as well.
That's not that much different. I mean, there's voiceover. I'm just saying this was such an extreme, and I liked that. I enjoyed watching this film for all of those reasons. What did you think of this film?
Once I got done Googling, why am I watching this in 4x3? Mm-hmm. It was the first shock. Like, why is this? And that turns out it was IMAX formatted. So that's why we're getting more by them not having full screen. It's crazy we've gone back in time to 4x3 being the thing. It's just wild. This movie.
He's talking about aspect ratio, by the way.
Yes.
Ed Pierce. Aspect ratio. The Bender Brothers aspect ratio podcast is we're going to do it, which would be the BB.
I believe he's called Ed Pierce.
The BBAR.
Ed Pierce Ratio.
It sounds
like his name.
It sounds like basically
Ed Ratio. Ed Ratio Pierce, is that his name?
Wow.
This movie from the get go hit all the right buttons for me. The style, the music, the epicness of this. It brought back the adult feel for a DC film, which I love about DC. It's not Marvel. It's different, and I like that. I don't want it to be a clone of Marvel. I want it to be its own thing that is successful and that is exciting, and this movie does that. It works on a lot of levels. I like the idea that it's now 4 hours because you really have to give two main characters a backstory because we don't have any backstory. I mean, at the time, we didn't have backstory for Aquaman either. But
so three main characters
need
backstory.
But you get really big backstories for Cyborg and for Flash.
And Aquaman.
You do, you do Aquaman.
He's brand new in this movie.
He's brand new in this movie, but I do have now a really good knowledge of Aquaman from the Aquaman epic movie that was. So I enjoy the tone. I enjoy Zack Snyder's look. Zack Snyder is an artist. He can paint. He can paint with cinema. Unlike, I don't know who to compare him to right now.
Tim Burton.
Old Tim Burton. That's the new Tim Burton.
They're not compared like they're the same, but they're directors. Tarantino. Directors who, when you see the film, good or bad, you look at it and you go like, Witowski's. Oh, that's, yeah. So, I mean, yeah, probably. We'll see.
Well, Speed Racer. I mean, look the way that's painted.
A decade ago.
Well, that's true. This is 5 years ago. Yeah. It's half a decade. I had talked to my friend Jeff, and I was like, I'm watching this. You should watch. He goes, oh, I've heard negative reviews. And I was like, really? I've heard nothing but glowing reviews.
Yeah.
And then he sent me, I went to IMDb and copied that page and Rotten Tomato, and I was like, look at this. This is like in their 80 percentile and all that. And he goes to like the top critics, and he goes, here's what all the top critics are saying. And a lot of them are lambasting it. They're like, it doesn't do much more than the original, like all this kind of stuff. And I was like, I was shocked. I was like, really? This is what, it's too long. And I'm sick and tired of that.
That's a terrible, it's a TV
too long.
Series.
You know, we got the shorter version. It was a 2.5 hour version. You got the shorter version called Justice League.
It wasn't even a half hour. It was 2 hours, 8 minutes.
How was that for you? Was that better because it was shorter? Nope. You hated that version too. So it has nothing to do with the length. Mm-hmm. It has everything to do with the story. And this got a chance to breathe. This got a chance to tell the story and feel emotion.
Which could work against the film, but it didn't this time.
Yeah, a lot of slow motion. But you know what? I'm okay with that because this is cinema. And you got sometimes slow motion really works. It really does. I go back to something like 300 where the critics panned that too. They did not like it, but audiences were like, yes, I love this. Watchmen. Watchmen was an okay film for a lot of people.
I really like that film.
I like it too. I mean, it has its problems. The hallelujah sex scene in the plane was still odd. It still stands out to be weird. But it's that cinematic feel. That's Zack Snyder. And I love it. Like, don't stop what you're doing, Zack. Keep what you're doing, Zack. And, you know, maybe he will. Maybe we're going to get a Justice League 2 and a Justice League 3. I was I watched a short documentary about Jim Lee made storyboards for the Avengers 2 and Avengers 3. Have you ever heard about this?
No.
They found storyboards by Jim Lee that looked like to be Avengers 2 and Avengers 3. And there's been a website, Screen Crush. They do a whole breakdown of what the possibility for Avengers 2 and Avengers 3 could be based off of these storyboards. And they go through the whole story. Now, Warner Brothers had pulled all this leak quickly when they got it. So, and we obviously don't, there's nothing signed for Zack Snyder to do with Justice League 2 or 3. But it looked like the story was going some interesting places. And if it does continue, if they do end up going with Zack Snyder some more, I'm all on board. It sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun with Darkseid and all sorts of stuff. Do you want to see more of this?
I don't know. I mean, because it's like I'd like to see this. I would personally like to see. I like his style and everything, but this story, parts of me want it to be wrapped up so that we can go other ways, still doing it, but not spending two more movies over the course of six more years of just to get to that point.
Dark Side?
Yes, I want to the Legion of Doom. That would be kind of cool.
One of the talks was in Justice League 2 is Lex Luthor's establishing the Legion of Doom.
That was what Whedon put in the end of the last version that they didn't, that was reshot dialogue to do that.
Mm-hmm. But there's talk in the storyboard. And again, the storyboards could all just be defunct anyways.
Mm-hmm.
But leading to Darkseid, you don't want them.
Jim Lee did for Avengers 2 and no, 3.
Justice League 2 and 3.
That's why I was
did
like,
did I say it's yes. Avengers? I'm sorry.
I'm like still going back to that. Like, oh, I thought you were telling me. Like,
no,
why
Justice
would they?
League
okay.
2 and 3.
Okay, that makes much more sense than Avengers. That's what I was like. I'm like, Avengers 2 and 3.
He did it for Age of Ultron.
I've never heard
Age
exactly.
of Ultron and Infinity War. Yeah, but not in-
that's why I was like, what? Okay, never mind. Then that's good. All right.
You don't want to take a decade to get to the final battle with the villain. That's a bad idea for you.
Yeah, correct. Yes, and yes, a little bit.
Did you like having Darkseid in this? Did you
oh, yes,
enjoy
absolutely.
Steppenwolf now?
I did. I thought all that worked here. It was all good. I don't know if the story. Again, it's fine. I'm not saying don't do it. I just don't know if I'm jumping up and down like, oh, I want to spend all that time in a post-apocalypse world or not. Maybe I will. Maybe I do. It's weird. Here's the reason, Joel. Because we're talking how raving we are of this. You weren't raving when he did Batman v Superman. It was kind of like, oh, why isn't this working as good? And so part of me is going, yeah, this director has done 300 Watchmen. This director did Sucker Punch. Looked beautiful. Stupid mm-hmm. movie. Looked beautiful.
Well, that's what you hope that.
Yeah, so I'm like.
It's not just Zack Snyder writing the story. They have a group of people who are passionate about it.
But he is the one because he's got that much power, and that's why they had a problem. We're speculating.
They can do anything now with Justice League. Justice League 2 can have Shazam in it, for crying out loud. It can have any of the Suicide Squad from
Suicide
Squad.
No, it's going to have Mira with a British accent for some reason. It's going to have Deathstroke with a mohawk. It's going to have Barry Allen. Joker.
But you can have a ton of stuff in there. I mean, that's a scene. But you can have other characters around it. And that's great. I would love... Imagine if Shazam was in this movie.
How'd you like seeing the Omega Beam eyes? Remember you were asking about that?
I knew that. I had not seen the Omega Beam, and I mentioned
he's
to Jerry.
He's speaking about
Darkseid
shooting his
eyes.
I
hope they show that. I don't know if they're going to show that. And they shot it where it turns and goes all different angles. Yes. I love that. I'm happy they did that. Very briefly, too. But that's the kind of stuff I love. Yeah, and it got me. The cameo got me. The Unite the Seven. When Martian Manhunter shows up, I was like, oh my God!
If he's the seventh, yeah.
Yeah, he's the seventh. We speculated about that for so long.
And there's a lot of rumors out there could have been the Green Lantern, who they wanted to use. He talked about Ryan Reynolds. There's all sorts of that kind of stuff. There's tons of that out there. Mm-hmm. Too much for a podcast that's not going to talk about it.
Yeah, John Jones, man. It was just... And the fact that he's been in this since the beginning, since Man of mm-hmm. Steel. His character's been... It was such a great reveal. Such a good reveal. And it showed motivation for Lois to go down there, and now everything made sense in this story. Outside of why does Darkseid get brainwashed and not remember where the whole planet of Earth is?
Yeah, that's really weird. Why doesn't he know that the Earth was where that? Yeah, that doesn't
that was
explain.
Weird, yeah,
and also the Atlanteans speaking in air bubbles doesn't mm-hmm. make sense unless you come up with a line of dialogue saying that the King Tide that they were on had too much interference in the water for whatever reason, and it doesn't, you have to write
totally
a light
okay with
yeah.
that, though.
I know, but that's pointing that out. Some of the stuff that the differences between these things, obviously we have an entirely different opening in the other version where there's this Batman scene it's fine, but it doesn't really do anything. Again, one of the reasons sometimes that stuff stood out before is because Whedon shot the film on digital versus this was shot on film. And even though you can make that look, it looks flatter.
Interesting.
Joel and I have talked about how the fact that Joss Whedon is not a director that is known for his artistic eye, good dialogue and good story, terrible choices in life also apparently, but it doesn't have a great people don't look at the Avengers or any of those things and go like, oh my God, it looks so good. They go, it's a great movie. And you look at these movies and you go, even if a bad film, that's the difference is like, if you look at something like like I said, Sucker Punch. It's a bad movie, but gosh darn it, it looks beautiful. Mm-hmm. It looks beautiful. It's not enough to save it, but it's something. Some of the things in this movie that really, I don't think were as good, except we're going to jump back and forth in here. We talked about the music, and the music is great in here. And one of the things I did like about the last film, in a way, was when they brought Danny Elfman in for the theatrical cut. He did utilize his Batman theme, which was neat hearing again, and he utilized the John Williams Superman theme, which I did like, and also he did come up with a really cool Flash theme for the time Flash would go and do his slow motion running effect, which again, the one scene in the original theatrical version is like the best scene in the movie at the time of the theaters when Flash is coming running up and Superman can track him with his eyeball, and it's like, oh, and so I've watched that particular scene so many times that I'm used to that music. So watching this new version with the new sound, the new score, I was like, oh, I kind of missed that a little bit. But I'll take that any day over when they start putting the Man of Steel theme in this movie. It's goosebumps. It's so good.
That theme was awesome. And as I have been the
Wonder
fan,
which was in the other one too.
Yeah, that Wonder Woman. Every time it kicks in, they do it three times in this movie. Where da 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 da.
Yeah, and just
the
watching
opening bank robbing the bank sequence
when they showed more of it, where she's just using her hands really fast doing the bolts. We both kind of said, "Well, this one scene here is better than everything in Wonder Woman 84
because it's serious. It takes it with a sense of gravity. Like it was Wonder Woman 84 in any way serious, shape, or form. Like it didn't feel like it. I still look back like they must have been laughing the entire time.
If you're
time.
A Wonder Woman 84 defender, please defend that movie to us and tell me why I'm not going. Oh. I guess I didn't think about that part. It's not good.
And we love Wonder Woman, the first movie. I love it. I mean, I shouldn't be speaking for you, but I think that movie.
I love it once. He loves it, loves
I've
it.
I've watched that movie probably at least three times. Maybe more. I should watch it again because it's a kick-ass movie.
No. But speaking of some of the things, I'm trying to see, like, this is so much better than the Whedon one. And again, not putting everything on Joss Whedon. He was clearly told by Warner Brothers when they brought him in. They said, listen, you're going to be making a Batgirl movie for us. Can you come in here and do this? And can you do this for this reason, for this reason, for this reason? And so he said, yeah. He probably answered, like, they want it to be lighter, so I'm going to do this. So we're going to have Flash talking about brunch. And we're going to have the sequence where Aquaman's sitting on Wonder Woman's Lasso of Truth, which was kind of funny scene. But mm-hmm. that whole sequence in there where Wally or Bart Allen, Barry Allen's running around. It's like, a bat cave. It's like, oh, lame. So lame. So many little lame things. But the dialogue that I think Whedon got right, two things stand out for me. Is the sequence between Bruce Wayne and Aquaman when Aquaman's going back into the water and he's trying to get him to join the team. And Aquaman goes, you know, strong man stands alone strongest or something like that. You know, like the strongest man stands strong alone. You ever heard that, you know, heard that phrase? And in this version, Batman kind of says, listen, I'm making a team. I'm working on a team. But I remember watching that in the theater where he goes, you know, the strongest man is strong alone or something like that. He says that. He goes, the strong man stands strong alone. He goes, you ever heard that phrase? And I remember in the theater thinking to myself, what the hell is he talking about? That is nothing like that. And Whedon in the other version, he goes, that's not the saying. That's the opposite of what it is. And I think that one piece of dialogue was good. And I also think that was Joss Whedon going, yeah, this is a dumb piece of dialogue. So he did that. I thought that was good. And I also do think that the best scene when Superman's, you know, kicking everybody's butt around and he has the scene where he sees Batman and he comes over to grab him and he says, you know, you won't let me live. You won't let me die. And then he goes, you know, tell me, do you bleed? That dialogue was good. And also the motivation of Lois Lane, instead of her just randomly walking around on the street and coming there, the idea that Bruce Wayne was smart to say, Alfred, you know, bring in the big guns, he had gotten her, much smarter. I thought that piece...
I thought the motivation was Martian Manhunter went there and had said, you have to live your life, you have to go out there. And then so she's like, okay, I'm going to go out in the world. I'm going to bring this cup. We're going to go to the memorial one more time.
Coincidentally.
And she just happened to be at the memorial when this happened.
Well, she was already a few blocks away when it finally happened because she had already walked away.
But she went back.
Yes.
So that made sense.
It did. But I think the other version was better. The other version made Batman smart and Batman thinking to himself, well, if I stand here, I can block his heat rays with my gauntlets and then that'll do it. Versus Batman has a contingency plan, and his contingency plan was, I got Lois Lane in the backpack.
That's Batman's superpower. I think I got to give
the Whedon cut.
That's a good point.
That was a better sequence. Stuff that was like the whole scene where Martha meets Lois Lane. Mm-hmm. That scene is gone. Happy to go. The Flash and Superman's race at the end. That's fine. Get rid of that. The whole Russian family sequences. That was terrible. Get rid of that.
So yeah, I like that. This is a deserted town already. Oh, good. I don't have to deal with the fallout of, look how bad Man of Steel was. Like, they must have killed thousands of people and caused billions of dollars of damage. Remember that fallout? Oh, that was so silly.
Yeah, literal fallout.
Yeah, the fight scenes were better. The Themyscira fight scene in the beginning was phenomenal, and yet more, it made more sense.
Yeah, I was talking with Joel. Like, they make a whole point of Queen Hippolyta going through all these doors to get out of that, of the, where they have him lock him in, which makes you think that the walls are super thick to get all the way out of there. And in this version, after she gets out, the whole thing falls in the ocean, and then eventually they burst out because it all got broken up, whatever. In the theatrical version, she goes through all those doors, and then they show him just punching through the side wall, which means it was like she was had a hallway, but the walls are only
3 feet thick.
I remember the theater going, well, this is dumb. Why did they do that? Well, clearly this was dumb because of those reasons.
Yeah, that fight scene was amazing. The fight scene with the old gods and the Green Lantern flying around and all
that.
We see another
Green Lantern in the post-apocalyptic future, and that everybody's, I read online saying that it was Kilowog.
Yeah, I don't know the Green Lanterns well enough.
Well, Kilowog's the big one who was voiced in the movie by, he's the trainer. Yeah. So that
was great to see. The fight scenes and then the fight scene at the end was awesome. You know, it's still a little dark. It still gets dark at points where it's like, oh man, this is really shot dark. Like, shot this at night. Damn it. But you know, it was, I enjoyed the humor. There's still humor in it. So you didn't need Joss Whedon to give us all the humor. There's still plenty of Barry Allen humor in it. And I like that. Do you want to talk about the ending?
Well, in a second, you had the sequence where we see Flash rescue Iris West. You liked that one with his shoes are bursting out.
His shoes bursting open, you know, the hot dog, grabbing the hot dogs. He's going to use it later on for the dogs to show he was inside the whole time. It was a great little sequence.
Did you like more of how they did Cyborg differently in this one? Or does it make a difference?
He's a little bit more sympathetic as a character.
In the other version,
you understand his angst a little bit more.
In the other one, he's getting his powers as it goes. He's learning them as he's dealing with it. In this version, he's already kind of figured it all out.
I loved the way they explain his ability to control the internet and economies, and like we see the bull and the bear fighting, mm-hmm. and he can like stop them. It was a really metaphorical way to show what he can do, because it's not an exciting superpower. Sometimes, look, I've linked into the internet. Look, my eyes go like they can actually show that in a way, and I really like that a lot.
That sentence I was trying to remember is, "The strong man is strongest alone." That's not a saying. That's the opposite of what the saying is. It's absolutely what the opposite.
Strong man is strongest alone. Really?
It's a common phrase in Atlantis. I think it goes up like this. The strong man is strongest alone.
That's right. In like Flint or Iron Man Flint does that.
Yeah, you might stop it. Now you're making me do my dolphin talk. Damn it.
I love when Jerry does his dolphin talk. So there's the ending, the epilogue.
40-minute epilogue. Yeah, this movie spent 70 minutes or $70 million on this film, and they shot 3 days worth of new stuff.
The epilogue, as I like to call it. we got to see the Slade Wilson stuff again, which is always great. The Deathstroke, I forgot about it. I was like, oh yeah, that was awesome. Deathstroke makes an appearance at the end. They were going to do something with that with the solo Batman movie. That was supposed to be a part of it.
What did you think of the Joker coming back? Does it make you want to watch Suicide Squad?
Well, I'm going to watch the Suicide Squad because it's James Gunn. I thought it was interesting. He's wearing the same SWAT gear we saw him at the end of the last Suicide Squad movie. So he's wearing that same SWAT vest. Interesting Joker. He no longer has his tattoos. He's got more makeup. Again, I don't care either. I didn't really care for the last.
We had no idea if those tattoos were written on with ink back then. Yeah,
I love his laugh. His laugh is... I love that. I think it's really well done. Again, this is all dreams, so they could do anything with this at this point. He's dreaming about this stuff. The only thing that is something that actually happened was he woke up and saw Flash, the Flash paradox, but I guess that doesn't have to happen. So who knows?
Ironically, the sequence here at the end, because they filmed a bunch of this stuff differently, Ezra Miller, at the time they were making this stuff, was in wherever he was filming for Fantastic Beasts. So he actually was filming on a green screen there, and he was directing him over Skype or over Zoom. And he was working with the Fantastic Beasts people, which is a Warner Brothers thing.
Yeah, he's wearing the metal. He's wearing the metal armor suit, which we saw in Batman v Superman. Oh, something we didn't mention. I know you wanted to mention this. I'll remember it. Remind me to remember.
How crazy is the fact that the Batman v Superman was so long ago, and they had that entire sequence we're talking about here, mm-hmm. and then Justice League came out and didn't touch it, and we knew like, well, we'll never know that story. We've actually seen not resolution of it, but more motivation around it, which mm-hmm. is crazy. Does that mean that we're not going to see it again? I mean, it's like, do you think it's
going to... I'm hoping we keep going with this. I don't want to lose Henry Cavill. I don't want to lose him as Superman. He is a hell of a Superman. He is a hell of a Superman. And he's awesome.
But J.J. Abrams is making a new Superman with a black Superman right now.
Yeah, and that's fine. We got a Robert Pattinson Batman coming out.
Another Joker movie come out.
Yeah, it doesn't mean they can't be.
DC has accepted the multiverse, as has Marvel, which is dealing with that now. And we do know that if they actually make the Flash movie that they've been talking about in forever, supposedly Ben Affleck will be back in there as Batman, as well as Michael Keaton's Batman from 1989, and who knows what else, if that actually happens.
And if they make this movie, this could all tie into a Justice League 2, and I'm okay with it. I know they're talking about Shazam 2, and... Superman's going to be in that, probably. They talked about that.
He was in the last one. Well, remember that great moment?
But his face might be
in where his head is gone. All you see is the bottom of a beard.
That was a great moment. I love that. A Shazam A-plus movie for me. I've watched it a couple times. You wanted to mention, I know you like the scene in the beginning when you hear Superman scream and his voice travels.
Oh, yeah, the waves of that. The waves are what activates the mother boxes.
Then they explain that. They go, the mother boxes were scared of him. As they should be, because once he was gone, the mother boxes looked at everyone else and they went, not impressed.
So,
that's a great, great line. Did he say that in the original? I don't remember
that. Who said that?
When Superman shows up to see Steppenwolf and he looks at him, he's like, not impressed. That was in another one.
I don't believe so.
It's such a great line. He just looks at Steppenwolf and he's beaten out.
Yeah.
Not impressed.
Whew. They did enough stuff here where they kind of explained enough, like, you know, so that Superman's not the only one who does things. The fact that Flash is doing is going back in time to save it at the end, which was brilliant.
Charging. Like, yeah, he has his whole moment, but he has to he charges up the power that he can do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah, so I just want to one more touch on the ending real fast. The ending leaves me wanting more. And they've set up, Zack Snyder has set up a bigger universe and a bigger story. And it's a shame that they didn't want to go with this to begin with, because it would be nice if I was looking forward to a DC film going, this is going to advance the story forward the way I look at Marvel movies like.
I was impressed with the flashback, which we had seen before, obviously, in the flashback version the first time around. It was always Steppenwolf who was fighting all of the armies of man in the Amazons and everything. And in this one, it's Darkseid, or actually it's before he becomes Darkseid. Whichever his name was, which was weird.
Grayside.
But the fact that we're getting more of Zeus and his son, Ares, who is the villain in Wonder Woman. And actually in Wonder Woman, she does say that he was a hero until he changed.
He has the mustache in both of them.
Yeah, but I mean, that's obviously Professor Lupin from Harry Potter and the Wolfman,
Prisoner
I think it's called.
Azkaban.
Yeah. The Hairiest Wolfman, Hairiest Wolfman is his name. No, but the fact that he's actually the one who takes out Darkseid in this one, it was like, holy cow. Because in the previous one, he's showing in the background, takes his helmet off, and then that's it. He's got credits in the credits. I'm like, oh, I guess he was in there, and I kind of saw it the second time I seen it.
I can watch that scene 100 times. It's so good.
I just like seeing the god standing above everybody.
Oh, yeah, they're taller. This is Lord of the Rings epic. Like, it felt that way where I was watching this, where I felt like I was watching something very important. Didn't it feel like that? Like, this was important cinema to be watching. It's a story that should be told in a way that they did not tell correctly. And now we're seeing it told correctly. And I love that. Keep it going. Please, keep this going. Like, I'm desperate now for things that have a long-form storytelling, because we just don't have that right now. Everything is so... A lot of stuff has ended, so we want more of this.
Mm-hmm. One other line I remember liking in the Whedon cut was when Commissioner Gordon shows up after they had read the whole underwater sequence in there, which they didn't. He wasn't in the this version when he's talking with Batman, and Aquaman shows up with just like a bat. I can dig it, you know, or something like that. And, you know, that's when he goes, it's good to see you, you know, working well with others. And Batman goes, it's temporary. I was like, that was a funny moment. That one, I could say, oh, that was still good. But, yeah, overall.
My man.
My man. Yeah, that scene wasn't in the, where he goes, where he lands in the car, mm-hmm. and he goes, you know, my
that
man.
That scene wasn't as good, yeah, the land in the car when he flies forward. He does say my man, but he doesn't, didn't have the same impact.
Also, there was a difference when Cyborg catches him. In this version, he says something else, like, I can't remember what he says, but in the Whedonverse, he goes, the ride's not over yet. And I thought that was a better line.
Yeah. Oh, well.
It's all small stuff
that I'm okay with. Like, I'd rather have this movie than
You know, I
movie
kept thinking
had,
before so. I watched this thing that I would think, well, I wonder if there's a version where you take all of this and also take the parts, like the main scenes from the Whedon ones, so you get this awesome one that doesn't throw away anything. And after watching this, I'm like, nah, you don't need any of that other stuff. You don't.
And you mentioned that there is another version potentially, right?
A gray version. He wants to put out a black and white version, which would have a couple of different little things. The Joker, a little bit different, whatever. It's going to be on HBO Max. Somebody online will put down the 30 seconds that are different. That'll probably be all I need to do. I don't need to see this in black and white. This movie's already in black and white.
You didn't watch Logan in black and white?
No, this movie's already in black and white. It's so dark.
It's true. It's very true.
So my recommendation, after all of that rambling back and forth, is I think this is a film that is definitely worth watching if you like the other ones. If you didn't like any of the other stuff, and this is just going to do the same thing, then it ain't for you.
No,
if you didn't like that.
You.
But I think this works.
Will you see this if they release it in IMAX? 4-hour cut at IMAX.
The idea
in a good theater with new seats. Like,
honestly, when the world opens back up again and I have a 4-hour period, I'm not going to want to go sit inside someplace. I'm going to want to go out and have fun doing
outside stuff. It's winter time.
It shows in the winter. I don't know.
I would like to see this on the big screen.
I don't know. There's
4-hour epic piece. You don't get that often. There's not a lot of movies out there that are over 3 hours, let alone 4 hours. I like it. It's not. I mean, again, I didn't sit. I didn't watch this in one sitting, so I don't know what that feels like to sit 4 hours. Maybe that's not worth it.
I'm also really old.
Yeah, I'm
so old now. I can't do that. But no, I might. You know what? I would say maybe. It'd be interesting to see it on a big IMAX screen, possibly. So
I want
to
see it. I just.
All right, he's gonna go see it, people.
Let's see it. Let's do it. I want to see all these movies back. I want to see Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, Justice League back to back.
Well, that was the DC movie we wanted to talk about. There will be another DC movie coming up. That is Suicide Squad. I believe that's in August.
Suicide Squad reboot. I don't know.
Yeah. And before that, we'll have the Black Widow movie.
Well, then we're going to get some TV shows eventually with Suicide Squad with John
there's
Cena.
There's talk about a Gotham series. There's talking about however these stories continue. If HBO Max is looking at the way Disney Plus is doing, you know, incredible work with the Marvel and Star Wars shows, we could see all of this stuff eventually showing up on HBO Max, where they're just every week there's another episode of one of these shows.
And they go, "Now we're gonna make a Harry Potter TV series. All right, I'm in."
So this was fun. All right, I hope you guys enjoyed this. We're gonna get back into Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yep.
Wow, having trouble here. Hey, this is what happens when you do two podcasts back to back. By the end, we're like, beep, 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 boo, boo.
That's the Jerry's Dolphin talk again.
That was how I signed out. That was my name. No. So thanks for listening, guys. I'm Jerry.
I'm Joel. We'll talk to you next time.